Welcome back to Embracing Human. I am so excited today to be introducing you to a dear friend of mine, Jaymin J. Patel. He is a growth coach and a soul mentor for high achievers. Jaymin really helps soul line leaders to unlock their great potential, live to the highest levels of like freedom and truth, and he just helps them to expand more in health, wealth, love, lots of abundance. Also, while not wasting time doing all the things that get in the way of us having a life that's fully lived. And that's a lot of the conversation that we have today is how do we make space for an amazing life and not get caught up in the busyness and the doingness and the what everyone else is doing kind of drama. Jaymin is a public speaker. He's done over 500 paid talks worldwide and just is got this really beautiful heart-led approach with no fluff, no extra BS, and it's just like a beautiful person to listen to. I honestly am so grateful to have him as a friend here in my life. Most importantly, Jaymin's also a dad of two beautiful boys and shares this fabulous relationship with his wife, Ari, who's actually going to be on the podcast next week talking about relationships. So I cannot wait to dive into this conversation, really exploring how we can live a life that is just full. Full of joy, full of desire, full of success, full of all the things that you really want. And how do we hold space for that in our lives? Ready? Welcome to Embracing Human, a podcast to remind you that you are not broken and in need of fixing, but simply human. Hang on, beautifully human. And as a human, you probably face challenges and obstacles. Am I right? I'm your host, Taryn Rain, founder of The Remote Yogi. And my intention for this podcast is to give you the tools to feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Together, we'll explore what it is to embrace human. Let's do this. Before we get started today, just a quick favor to ask of you. If you've been enjoying episodes of Embracing Human, it would mean so much to me if you could leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps our growth. And if you're not on iTunes, that's okay. Please share this episode or any of your favorite episodes with your friends or on social media. Any reach we can get really helps the podcast to grow and helps more people to get access to these amazing talks. Thanks so much. Jaymin.
Hi.
I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited. This is going to be so fun. We have so much fun together every time we're together.
I know. You guys just missed like all the things before this. We did a little dance party to get in the mood. We tried to set up different camera angles and different, like right now, his computer is on a bunch of puzzles. We've got the mic set up on a bunch of notes. You guys can't see this because it's just recording, but it's shenanigans in here. So just
there's definite shenanigans happening for sure. Like a heavy human to show up in this way.
as I knock off a crystal from the desk. All right, there we go.
You're worse than my cat, Jaymin.
I am like a big cat without even knowing it.
So I'm so excited to chat with you and share your story with my audience because I find you just to be a fascinating person. Actually, my best friend Connor, he took a while to meet you, but we were traveling Europe together, and he kept being like, if you bring up this Jaymin guy one more time, I get it. You think he's cool. I got it. Good to know.
So, oh, I love this. You. Thank you. I adore me too in many ways, and I adore you in many ways. And Connor looks like Harry Styles.
Oh,
right? Has that been discussed on the podcast?
Yeah, not on the podcast, but
okay, if you don't know,
he lets me know pretty often.
Yeah, every time she's referring to Connor, just imagine Harry Styles. Yeah, it's amazing.
We still need to do an episode. We're going to do one where Kayla actually interviews us as like, how the hell are you guys still friends as exes?
Oh, that's interview. A good one. Good. Yeah, that's so important.
It'll get in the books. Okay, cool. Enough about other people. Yes. I'm excited to like share your story.
Time to talk about me, Taryn.
Things. Yes, time to talk about you. But before we like announce how amazing you are, of course, I warned you, we're going to start with the human story.
Yeah.
So what's real for you right now? What's coming up as a human experience?
Wow. So many things are so real right now. One is getting this set up and just like knocking over your sacred space and your crystals as we're doing this. That's feeling very human right now. I'm in a launch right now, as I told you. So I'm in this like yo-yo of like someone's signing up. I'm like, I'm doing all the best work in the world. And someone says no. And I'm like, why am I even doing this? And then someone says yes. And I'm like, yes, I'm on my mission. And someone says no. And I'm like, nobody understands me. You know, so I'm just like in that yo-yo right now. In a bigger sense, I have just gone through a massive death and rebirth process. That's very human for me. I think it's like the most human thing. In fact, I feel like it's like beyond the idea of what I thought was kind of human. Because I think like in the Western world, you know, growing up in the U.S., it was like this idea of like there's a linear timeline. Mm-hmm. And you work towards a goal. And then you just like go from point A to B to C to D to E. And then you get to Z. And like that's where you're headed. And everything is just like on a way there. And then I end up finding out that like at some point it's fluctuating all over the place and gets a little bit crazy. And only this time did I really kind of click in my head that when you think about Eastern cultures and indigenous cultures, they really think about like life as being a series of death and rebirth cycles.
Yeah.
Like you're just gonna keep dying into the newer version of yourself. And it's just like the caterpillar going into the cocoon and becoming a butterfly or whatever.
Like over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again to new layers. And so now like the human experience I'm having is kind of like departing from this linear line that I've kind of been on that's been very fluctuating to now just being like, no, this line ends. Mm-hmm. I go through a death and rebirth process and then I come out on the other side. And then like kind of like intellectually understanding that, but then emotionally having to deal with like everything that that brings up, because it's like my sexual desires, my social desires, my food desires, my usual comfort desires, like all shifted. And I was just kind of like this awkward goo, you know, like between the caterpillar and the butterfly, you're just a goo. And I spent many weeks just being a goo, right? Yeah. As a father, as a husband, as a business owner, just being goo. And like allowing myself to be supported in that and just be held. And like, it wasn't like depressive. It wasn't like, oh no, this is happening. It's just like, okay, so today this is happening. And there's really no other choice here but to be with it, right? And I could find myself grasping for my old identity and wanting that. But then another part of me being like, you need to let that go and come into what's new. It might feel different, but it's going to be really good. And so that's like my human experience right now is this real big like understanding of like, oh my gosh, being human, it really is about dying and rebirthing over and over again and constantly and allowing that and be open to it and to be as brave as we can to not hold on to what once was, but to trust. It's like the ultimate like test and trust of the universe is to see like, where is this going to take me? So that's what I'm in right now.
Yeah. It's so hard. And I feel like in the personal development culture, I think there can be a lot of like, oh, you're going to get to this place where like everything just feels better. And I'm like, for like a moment.
Right. Only like, for it to all change again. And no, and it's like at the same time, it's like, thank gosh, like, thank gosh it keeps changing. Thank gosh there's more and more things that happen so that I feel like life would be pretty boring if there weren't like challenges or growth opportunities, right? And it's really nice. It's like, I feel like whenever I'm in a challenge, I'm just like, oh, I just want it to be over and it to be calm and to be quiet. And when it's calm and quiet, I'm just like, everything's calm and quiet. Nothing's exciting.
Yeah.
And then I want something
I like start
exciting.
Looking for problems.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
What needs to be fixed?
Exactly. And I think it's like
my
the
therapist
natural
told me, like,
way.
Taryn, you don't always need to be looking for problems.
Yeah. Yeah. They will find you. Universe got you. Like, it's going to show up what you need to, like, show up. Mm. Yeah. So that's been, like, a really, like, cool part about right now is I feel like I've gone through, like, a death and rebirth process. You know, if I've done, like, plant medicine journeys, if I've done, like, you know, I've done, like, week-long initiations, I've done a variety of initiations. All initiations are what? A death and rebirth process, right? And so I've gone through many of these type of experiences, but they've been, like, compact in that time frame, in that container, and then, like, then you have to integrate and transition back into the real world. And this time is just very slow, very deep, and just, like, you know, like a small secondhand clicking, like, every day. And I'm like, wow, I'm just suspended into the void right now. Okay, and this is how I'm relating to life. Okay, and I have no idea where this is going to go. Wow. And just being, like, in that, like, exhale of it was really, really crazy. And now I feel like I'm grounding into me again. I'm, like, opening up, you know, I'm feeling more connected. remembering things but feeling different, and it's amazing.
Mm. Yeah, because you're also, like, a very much, like, let's go, let's get things done, let's move, let's heal fast, let's go. And, like, this is a different energy for you to be in this, like, let's just let it happen at its own pace, no rushing.
Yeah, which is a huge shift for me, huge shift. Because usually what I'm used to is, like, leaping from, like, rock to rock and just, like, landing, going. And this time it's, like, it just never hit the rock. And I'm just, like, what? Like, like, okay. But I'm, like, I'm still okay. It's just, like, in slow-mo, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, the being with it is pretty huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I know a bit about you and your story and what you do, but those listening, you're a total stranger, so...
Hi, strangers.
What's, like, the story that you usually share for who you are, how you got here?
A story that I usually share?
Or that you feel like sharing today?
I'll share a story, yeah. So, yeah, the story that I have, I think, is typical in many ways, but also atypical in some ways. So I grew up in Chicago. You know, my parents were immigrants to the U.S., so I was, like, kind of first generation. And I grew up in a very conservative religious household. It was very strict, you know, had abusive parents, you know, alcoholism was there, narcissism was there. And so it was this environment where, in order to feel safe and create safety, what I found worked best was for me to become a people pleaser and an overachiever. Mm. And I was amazing at this. And so it took me very far in life. You know, I graduated high school a year early because I was so...
Same.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, high five.
People pleasers.
Yes, people pleasers, overachievers. Went to college, got a full ride scholarship. So, like, my tuition, my room, my board, even my books. I got a little paycheck every semester to go to school there. Mm. So then I studied engineering, of course, because it was difficult and it was hard and challenging. Why do art?
I could never see you doing engineering. That's so funny.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my foundation is super analytical, super pragmatic, yeah. So I studied industrial system engineering, and then I graduated, and then I went to work for a Fortune 500 company in a rotational leadership program. So at 21, I was managing a team of 30, some of whom were three times my age, and just had amazing opportunities and experiences, launched a new product for... you know, like something you'd see on grocery shelves everywhere. It was, like, wild. But, of course, that wasn't enough, and so I went back to graduate school. I went to a top MBA program. While I was there, I picked up a secondary master's in public policy management. Why not? You know, it was a top 5 program, so, of course, I'm going to get a dual degree. And then I went and started working in management consulting. And so, ultimately, by the time I was 24... I became one of the top 5% of earners in the United States, ages 25 and up. So I just kind of fast-tracked.
Wow.
And all the people-pleasing and overachieving was just like, go, 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 go. I bought a beautiful condo that was, like, in the Parade of Homes. You know, I bought a car I loved, like, was traveling everywhere. It was really, really nice. And then I got there, and I was almost a decade younger than my peers, many of my peers. And... you know, it was just one of these things where I was working with CEOs of top corporations and then signing NDAs and then reading about it on the cover of the Wall Street Journal months later. And I was like, yeah, I helped do that. So it's this very amazing peek into corporate life and this lush, extravagant lifestyle and all of this. And it was really fun for a while. And then it just was like, it was like not hitting. It was not hitting. And, yeah, so and then during this time, the most amazing thing that happened for me was not only was I a people pleaser and an overachiever, but I was very highly judgmental. So I would, like, only date, like, 9s and above, right?
Oh my gosh.
I was one of those guys. I was, like, not the coolest person. I mean, I was still very sweet and loving, but I was just very judgmental. It's just the way that I was raised because I was judged so much, and I just would extend that then to others. And then universe had an amazing plan for me. And out of nowhere, I fell in love with a man. And I was just like, okay, I don't know. Like, I'm not gay, but I love you. And I can't live without you. But I'm very confused about what's going on. And he was gay, which worked out. And so, so you know, like, we were like, I was inseparable. Like, I could not not spend time with him. And we dated and slowly, like, we became boyfriends. And this whole thing happened. And then, for a variety of reasons, ultimately, you know, he broke my heart and ended the relationship. And when that happened, my gosh, I was like in a complete like despair bubble. Like I started seeing therapists. I took a sabbatical from work. I went to Vipassana retreat, which is finally like what helped me move on with life. But it's my first true love relationship, and it was with a man. And I can really measure my life as the person I was before him and then after him. Because after that whole experience, all the walls that I had around my heart were just cracked open.
Yeah.
Right? And I was able to see people as they were without having to be a 9 or educated or smart or stylish or just anything and just be like, wow, I can love this person. It was one of the most amazing gifts that I've ever received. Yeah.
And I wonder, was it also, like, having to do with, like, the identity shift of, like, who you thought you were before falling in love with a man? Like, I'm this straight, successful, whatever, and now that has to shift because you no longer maybe fit the straight spectrum anymore.
Exactly. Well, I had this idea, for a very prescriptive idea of who I was to be and who I was to be with.
Mm.
And that was the construct that was set for me, and I was just fulfilling that vision that others had for me.
Mm.
And through this experience, I realized, like, my gosh, deep, incredible, powerful love lives in the most unexpected places. And I want more of it. Once I got a taste, I was like, all of this really stinks. So I went on my sabbatical and I came back. I worked for about another year and I kept wanting to quit, but I wouldn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to show. And so the company let me go. And it was wonderful because it was one of these things where, like, my clients loved me. I was doing great work. I was just not interested in my firm at all. And so, like, you know, we'd be working 12-hour days and then expected to, like, go out to dinner together. And I'm just like, I'm not going to come. I'm going to go to my hotel room. And I just started pulling away. And they were like, oh, this is not going to work because you're not conforming. So it was great. It's like when you want to break up with someone, but then they break up with you. And you're kind of like, okay, yeah, no. No, yeah, good. Okay, great. You know, at first you're shocked. You're like, what, you're breaking up with me? But then you're like, this is amazing.
This is good. This is what I wanted.
So, yeah, then from there, ultimately, you know, like, once you work in consulting, you don't really, like, leave the loop. You become an illustrious alumni, and they give you a website. It's like a super secret website you log into. They give you a password, and it literally, Taryn, just has a list of six-figure, multi-six-figure jobs all over the world. They're like, yeah, do you want to work for Samsung in Korea? Do you want to work for Apple in Silicon Valley? Do you want to work for Google? Like, name the company and the location. Here's the position that we can get you into. And they just kind of, like, hand it to you, like, on a platter.
Oh,
I mean, you saw the interview, technically, but they're just like, yeah, like, they already have people at those companies who are alumni who would then become your mentors and guide you. So I had this amazing job lined up for me by my mentors afterwards in New York City and all this stuff. And I was just like, okay. And I had to really pause my whole life and be like, what am I doing? Like, is this what my talents, what my life, what my skills are meant to be used for? Because I achieved a lot, but it wasn't feeling fulfilling in a way. And my parents are entrepreneurs. My grandparents are entrepreneurs.
Wow.
Not only are they entrepreneurs, but they're like the OG nomads. So my grandparents left India like in the 30s to go to Africa to start a company. And then my parents left from Africa to India to come to the US, and they were entrepreneurs. And I'm just like, this is in my blood, and I want to be an entrepreneur. And I was probably like in my late 20s, like 28, 29 at this point. So it was full on Saturn return, heartbroken, you know, being completely, you know, wide open. Like, I could be anywhere, do anything, be with anyone. Like, the whole world was open to me, and it's so overwhelming. And I realized I want to be an entrepreneur. And by then, I had actually published a book, which was a book called The MBA Guide to Networking Like a Rockstar. And it was something that when I started getting opportunities to speak about in front of audiences, I felt so, people were like, when was the last time you felt alive? I'd say when I was on stage. Like, it was just like channeling through me. I said, okay, I'm going to go and make this happen. And what better product to believe in than myself? And so I took off on an entrepreneurial journey, launched Network Like a Rockstar. And over the next, whatever, like decade, ultimately, I wrote, you know, 7 more books. I was invited to speak at Harvard Business School, the London School of Economics. I traveled the whole world speaking at corporations, universities, and yeah, just earning tons of money, working a few months a year speaking, and then having a lot of free time. So my lifestyle was very amazing, and it led me to achieve a lot of really beautiful things. And then from there, I had success my way into loneliness. I just nobody could really keep up with my lifestyle. Nobody that I knew at that time was enjoying the value or like the balance of time and money. So all my friends were in corporate, had a lot of money, but they had no vacation time. And then all of my like hippie friends that I would go to festivals with had all the time in the world, but not a lot of money. And so I just was starting to date. My relationships would be like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months before I realized like this isn't going anywhere. Then finally I met my wife, Ari, which was the wildest ride. Within 6 weeks, I knew I wanted to marry her. So we got married within 1 year of starting dating.
Wow.
Had two kids, started traveling the world, moved here to Bali, and had an incredible time. And we've been here 5 years now. And yeah, so now I do more coaching. I still do speaking, you know, virtually. But my main thing is that I do coaching. And the main thing that's been important in my life has been to shine as my true authentic self. Because the first couple of decades of my life, I was just living life for other people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not what I want to be doing. I don't want to be living someone else's prescription of what I have to be. How do I, A, find what it is that I want to be, B, trust that, like trust that like that's okay and it's worthy and it's enough and it's all of those things, and then finally go live my truth. And so that's been my biggest kind of passion in life, and what I do now for others through my coaching is help them ultimately figure out what the heck their soul wants and live their truth. That's my story.
That's your story. Just, you know, something simple, easy story. Just, like, speed through the last, like, 7+ years.
Yeah, I was like, I think this is running long. Let me, like, summarize it a little bit.
Oh, I think, like, you explaining that gives more insight for me also on, like, why I, like, adore you so much. Mm. Is because I just love people who are, like, in their true expression of themselves. Mm. That aren't trying to hide, that aren't trying to, like, be what other people want them to be. Like, it's just so attractive to me when people are, like, fully living in their truth. And that's, like, you and your wife and your whole family. Like, you just do that so well.
And for sure, there's, like, still evidence of people pleasing. Like, it still happens, right?
Oh, my God,
like,
same.
It's, like, no matter how much you try, it's, like, even this yo-yo that I talked about at the beginning of, like, oh, my gosh, people are joining. I'm doing the right thing. Oh, no, they're not joining. Am I doing the right thing? It's, like, oh, my gosh, Jamin, like, be in your own journey, right? So even though I've done all of this work, it still is there. I feel like it just lingers. And it's like, you know, like I've been doing this personal development work for like about a decade now, 12 years. But I have decades before that of all of the imprinting that needs to be undone, right? So so it's really great. It's amazing. My life is like beyond a dream right now. I feel so expressed in everything that I get to do. And those lingering pieces are just always there for me to work through. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that tension of like constantly being able to do more. But thank you for seeing that.
Yeah, of course. I also like find it fascinating that like we're both extreme people pleasers, at least in our past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we experienced the world was very different within that, because I had the opposite experience of like, I'm such a people pleaser that I like give up all my hopes and dreams for everyone around me, and I just get the crumbs at the end of the day. So I always was like underpaid in every job I've ever been in and just like scraping by, just like doing the most but getting nothing for it. You know, trying to be an entrepreneur but never, like I had 3 businesses at one point and I was just like just getting enough to like pay for the supplies. You know what I mean? Like I just didn't know I could ask for more, and so like my people pleasing was like terrible in that way. And it's interesting that yours played out in overachieving and like success.
Yeah.
Just, like, a different direction than mine.
Like,
what do you think?
Look at what I've amassed, you know,
for you. Yeah, what do you think caused that difference?
Well, I think I was very rewarded when I would achieve.
Yeah.
Right? So that was the other thing. Like, for you, maybe it was, like, you were rewarded when you gave.
Totally.
Right?
That makes sense.
And so I was rewarded when I achieved. So, like, my growing up, I'd come home with straight A's, and my mom would look at my report card and be like, huh, why not A+? And literally just go out the room. Like, that was it. It wasn't even like, wow, this is so great. You did 3 straight A's. Like, no, it's just like, okay, well, why not A+?
Mm.
And I was like, shit, I fucked up. You know, like, I got straight A's. So not good enough. Oh, my gosh, I need to get A+, straight A+. That was how I grew up. Mm. So I think that was what was rewarded for me. And that's what I ended up focusing on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was your, like, perception of, like, worthiness was, like, high achievements.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Doing the most challenging thing, doing the craziest thing. But then there's this other authentic part of me that just like wanted to experience the depth of love. that wanted to experience a depth of connection, that wanted to experience all of those things, and not to experience it from that highly successful version of myself, but to experience it from the, like, more stripped away version of myself and have, like, that vulnerable connection. And that, I think, is, like, especially with Corey, the first guy that I dated, it like, opened up my heart to, like, wow, like, I don't have to be this straight, successful, la-da-da-da person and be loved. He just loved me for me. It was wild, you know? And, well, I mean, of course, he loved all the hotel points and travel perks I had. But, you know, there was just this, like, true sense of, like, wow, I've been trying to be all these other things to be loved, and now you just love me for me. And I'm like, wow, I don't have to be those other things. And it was just very, very cool. And that's the journey. And now I get to, you know, do that with my wife, and it's just like, she's amazing. And we get to, like, go into so many depths of, like, there's just so much depth. I think that's the thing, like, there's so much depth to experience. And people are like, well, isn't that boring if you just, like, don't have the tension and you're just, like, you know, like, connecting and you have a good partnership? It's like, no, your fights get even more crazier, right? Like your tools are tested. Like, the more you elevate the way you like, play this game called life, the more life elevates to meet you, right? And so, like, the things that we get to unfold in our relationship or that I get to experience through life are, like, so exquisite. Like, they're so challenging. They're so exquisitely beautiful. And I live for that.
Mm-hmm.
I live for that, right? Like, it's, like, to me, that is the biggest part, is, like, embracing that part of the human journey of, like, the depth of experience that's available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the way that you're describing it is what makes it so different, because we all, like, struggle in our lives, and there's this, like, something's always wrong, and I have to, like, get better in my career, and now I'm not good in my relationships, and now I'm over here, and, like, it's just this, like, fight and drama, I feel like. But I think some of the difference being that we're rejecting the drama. It's like part of us is addicted to it, right? Mm-hmm. We, like, want the challenge, we want the struggle, we want the hardship, and then we're also being like, why is it so hard? This sucks. And we're like rejecting it. Whereas you're being like, oh, look, I have challenges in my life. Let's lean into that. Let's, like, move through
that
it.
That is the work. Yeah. That is the work. Because ultimately, it's like, growing up, we have these things where giving so much was rewarded or achieving so much was rewarded. And so we put away other parts of our personality to create that experience of having that. And that is what our nervous system got used to. And so as adults, when we may not have so much of that, like, specific parental pressure or family pressure or religious cultural pressure, then we're like, our nervous system is used to that. So then we inherently just create the same thing for ourselves, because our nervous system doesn't know how to be without that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the work is, how do you create the spaciousness for your nervous system and your emotional system and your physical system and all of that and your mental system all to come online and just be like, no, actually, it is okay. Because it's easy to be like, you know, like, I go to some of these, like, Tony Robbins seminars and, like, just make a move and, like no more suffering. And I'm just like, okay, but I'm going to suffer. Like, this doesn't change things, you know? Like, it's very surprising to me that someone who's so prolific kind of misses some of, like, the deeper nuances of this and ultimately, to an extent, teaches bypass. And I think it's
important. I actually felt that watching his week. I did, like, his 5-day challenge this week and was like, some of this is really good and helpful, and some of this is, like,
it's bypass.
Ignoring the darkness and just jumping right through it. And I'm like,
make your move, change your stance, adjust your physiology, don't suffer.
Don't sit in the dark. And I'm like,
No,
sit in the dark for a minute.
Yeah.
It's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, and that skill set of being able to be with that emotion.
Yeah.
Like, this morning I meditated for, I put a 10-minute meditation, but I went for 30 minutes because that's what I needed to be with everything that was coming up today about being the final day of the launch and just, like, the timing.
The doubt that was coming up.
Yeah, you know, and all of that stuff. And I was like, okay, like, I need to spend all this time to really be with that emotion and then change my state and then do the thing. And so it's funny because, like, Tony Robbins, Joe Dispenza, who I love, HeartMath Institute. Like, I'm literally reading the HeartMath book and it's legitimately teaching, like, here is a strategy to use, and it's literally bypassing. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, are you, this is really what you're teaching?
Yeah.
So I think a big critical piece there is missing, that until that's there, like, you can stuff it away, then it's going to kind of come out in other ways. And it's like being with that edge of, like, okay, I'm in this feeling and I have an adult self that I can connect into that can be with my child self and be like, okay, I see you in this experience. That's okay. Like, it's okay to feel that. And I've got this. Like, that ability to orchestrate that internally takes a lot. But once you can do that, then you stop creating those kind of, like, nervous system regular drama that, like, puts you into that state. And you're just kind of like, okay, well, let's hold on for this new thing. Like, what's going to be there? It becomes curiosity with excitement, right? Like, that's really the thing.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, those methods and even, like, new thought methods, like law of attraction and all these things, it just teaches you that, like, oh, if it's not working for you, like, you're the fuck up. You're the reason why it's not working
for you.
Yeah,
your energetics are off.
Like, and it's instead of just being like, hey, maybe, like, you're not meant to be jumping through quantum leaps right now. Maybe you're meant to just sit with it. And maybe what you're doing is enough right now. Maybe it's okay to just be here.
Yeah, absolutely. and along with that, is this other thing that human beings just don't do, which is to celebrate, right? So it's like, as a coach, you like want to start doing 10K months consistently, maybe, okay? So you're running a business, you want to have consistent 10K months. Then you hit that, but you see people around you who are doing 20K months, 40K months, 50K months, 100K months, you know? And then you start hitting 10K months consistently, and you're like, oh, it's only 10K months, like, I got to do more, right? But there's not that point of just like celebrating how long you wanted to create a business that would get you 10K months, and now you're there. And, like, coming into celebrating that and just being like, oh, my gosh, how amazing is this? That allows then for that new page to open up, right? Yeah. So it's like all of these things together need to be combined, right? Otherwise, the loop just kind of, like, stays on and it just becomes a bigger version of the loop, right? And to me, like, in my view, I call it kind of like shifting from the achievement game because – like, as long as you're playing the achievement game, the thing you achieve is never going to be, like, satisfying for long.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to achieve success. Enough. It's never enough. So you're just going to, like, achieve success, be satisfied for a bit. It won't be enough. You're going to need the next thing. You're going to need the next thing. That's called the achievement game. And the thing that I suggest and invite people into is to shift from the achievement game into the fulfillment game, where everything can create fulfillment for you. And no matter what comes next, you know how to be fulfilled in it. When you can make that switch, like that piece, I think, is the work of being human, is to get out of that achievement game where you're constantly going, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
But it can come into more where, like, everything feels fulfilling as it is, and you have desires within that that lead you to something that feels even more exciting versus a lack that pushes you, right? So having a desire that pulls you versus a lack that pushes you, that's really the nuance.
Yeah, and, like, loving yourself through the whole process. I think that's what you're really good at as well, is, like, learning self-acceptance, learning to, like, have compassion for whatever part of the journey. Because we can often use, again, collecting all these tools as, like, measuring sticks against where we should be at. And it's, like, just another form of self-judgment and self-criticism instead of using these as, like, a way to soften and, like, allow ourselves to move.
Yeah, and the thing right now is that it's happening in small pockets, right? Like, it's it's not happening, like, at a big scale. So mostly when you go out to a party, when you're talking to people, you go out to lunch, you start talking, what's the first thing you do? You're kind of complaining, right? About, like, oh, my gosh, like, this is happening and that's happening and this drama is going on and that drama is going on. And then we're kind of, like, supporting each other in that, right? And I think the more that this starts coming out of, like, these little containers, you know, like the programs I run or that are out there, that more of that happening, then more people will start doing it more naturally. But it's really hard to be incentivized to do it, because unless you're in a community around you that's witnessing you and supporting you in that, then it's also kind of like you're alone doing it, you know, and everyone else is creating the drama and everyone else is enjoying the drama ride. And then it's so easy to get caught up in enjoying the drama ride because everyone around you is kind of doing that thing. And it feels weird to pull away and to create that. And so that's why it's really important to kind of have a community that's doing that and be immersed in that so that you can feel like you're part of something. And, like, it's just, it's a huge game shift.
Yeah. It's like the biggest shift in my life, I think, has been surrounding myself with people who are, like, going to hold me in my stuff when I need to be held in it.
Yes.
And also call me out on my shit when I need to be called out on it. It's like a beautiful balance. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. I call that the Papa Bear energy. That's like what I tried to bring in. I'm like, tough love. It's like, hey, I see you and I love you. And what is this? You know, like what is this? And people are like, oh my gosh, okay, you got me, right?
Yeah.
It is really that balance. Like, for me, in the last, like, decade, 12 years, like, I have had a minimum of two coaches at all times. Mm-hmm. Minimum. And in addition to having those two coaches, then I'm, like, taking, like, weekend-long programs, week-long retreats, attending master classes, like, reading books. I'm just constantly creating a support system and a community around me that allows me to then create the shifts that I really want and stay there, right? Instead of touching in and then kind of like falling back into regularity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like learning how to do that for other people, being the Papa Bear energy, that's what you call it. I call it like my mother energy. Like, do that for myself too. Mm-hmm. Like, if we learn how to do the same, like, I love you, I'm going to hold you through it, and I'm also tired of your shit, let's move. Yes. Energy to ourselves, like, good, you know?
Yeah. Like, there's going to be that scared kid part always. Yeah. There's going to be that decisive adult part. And it's really having that balance, that dialogue, and giving the space to, like, all the parts to be recognized and to be like, okay, now we're going to move forward this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's all it takes.
Yeah. So I know one of your, like, signature programs is called Fully Lived.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what is your definition mm-hmm. of a fully lived life?
Yeah. So to me, fully lived life is the simple and complex definition of it. The simple definition of it is where you are living in abundance, in health, wealth, and love. So your health is on point, your mental health, the way you feel about the world, your physical health, your love life, the way that you relate to others, and wealth, the way like you have abundance coming into your life. So you're living in full abundance in each of those areas. And it's like, you know, it's like that feeling when you're on vacation and you had a beautiful trip, you're at the nice restaurant, you're looking at the beach, the sun is setting, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, life is amazing. This is so magical. Like, wow. Just having that all the time. Like, not needing to have to take a vacation from your life. Like, feeling like miracles are occurring every day. That is living life fully lived.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Where do you feel like most people are, like, stuck when they're first starting, like, this journey? Like, what's the hang-ups for most people to fully live?
So I think there's four main hang-ups.
Okay.
And this is the way that I've structured the program as well, because I think these are the four main things for people to look into. The first part is that, you know, people kind of first typically, like, they'll chase some level of success, whatever that means for them, whether it's, like, having a family, achieving a lot of money, creating a business, launching, you know, their art or music or whatever, right? And then along the way, they get introduced to the shadow, and they start doing shadow work, and like, oh my gosh, like, I have this shadow and this and the inner child work and all this sort of stuff. But then people get stuck there. And to me, they end up doing something that I call TMSW, too much shadow work, right? And like here in Bali, you know, like, a lot of people just go workshop to workshop trying to, like, you know, feel good about all that's going on. And you just, they don't know where to kind of cap it. So if you want to really be able to move forward in life and to shift into a life that's fully lived, you have to come to peace with your past. Like, to really, truly come to peace with it, right? And that there's a lot of things that go into that, but it ultimately is this idea of, like, recognizing that that is what's made you who you are. It's not going to change. You can spend the rest of your life going back into your shadow and going back into your little child and pulling gold from the never-ending well. Or you can,
it's like,
just
all of last year for me.
Yeah, exactly. No, and for anyone who's on a growth path, they, even for me, I was like, oh my God, it's a never ending well. And,
yeah.
And I was like, what am I doing? I'm putting all my attention on my past. I'm going back there and over again. The adult me is kind of like beating up on the little me and like extracting this gold and then like temporarily feeling good about it, but then going back into my old patterns.
Mm.
So you have to come into actually making peace with your past. And then once you do that, you realize you're like in a car and 90% of the time it's a little kid who's just driving it and you're not going anywhere. And so then what happens is, once you can make peace with your past, then the second step opens you up into now taking command, right? And it's like really understanding, like, okay, well, if I'm not like having a fight with my partner and getting triggered, right? If I'm not like holding myself back in terms of what I want in my business, if I'm not like, you know, what all these ways that our little child kind of holds us back. Once we don't do that, then it's actually overwhelming for people, because that's why they kind of stay there, because if that wasn't there, they don't know.
It's like safety.
It's safety.
Yeah.
And it's familiar, and it doesn't get you anywhere, right? Like, it gets you somewhere. I won't say nowhere, but it doesn't get you to a life that's fully lived. So then the second place where people get stuck is that even if they were able to make peace with their past, then taking command of their lives and living it in the present moment is overwhelming. It's scary. It's unfamiliar. They don't know how to do that. So it's like, you know, how do you create boundaries from your yes versus your no? So in a way that people don't get defensive and you can have what you want. How do you make requests to, like, convince people? You just came on to Fully Express, right? And we got to talk about a lot of these things. And so to me, that's all a part of coming into your own sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
like understanding like what belongs to you, what doesn't belong to you, where to put your attention, where to put your time. It's like understanding when you're in the driver's seat, like how to actually navigate this
yeah.
thing. How to actually, what do all the switches do? So I think that's the second step. People get stuck in like not knowing like, okay, well, what do I do when I'm here and I'm not in my inner child? And then like, oh, I don't know, it's not working. And then just go back into their old patterns. So those two things kind of go together for me. Then once you have command and you know how to like steer the ship, it's actually setting some navigation, right? Like mm-hmm. setting it to where you want to go.
Like and vision like and strategy
vision,
for the future.
Yeah, exactly. And that's yeah. when like all the manifestations stuff comes in. It's also when it starts working
yeah.
because you're actually fully aligned to a future vision and you're clear on it and you're being bold enough to actually get what you want versus what your childhood conditioning has told you that you should have. This is why manifestation doesn't work for so many people, right? It's just like...
They're not like fully connected with their desires beyond like a
yeah.
childish level.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, like I want $1 million and I want this relationship and I want a nice house and like, great. And those things are fine. And then like, what else is turning you on? Like, what is the real down there, right? And connecting into that. And so when you actually make peace with the past and you're in the present moment and you can create these things, then you can open up into where you want to take all that. And most people don't have a strong, clear connection to that, so they're not making progress towards that. But when you've kind of made peace with your past and you have the commands at your hand, that's when it begins to feel like miracles are occurring every day. Because you're making, not like maybe quantum leaps, right? That word is a very heavy word. But your things are happening, you're so in alignment and you're so clearly moving towards something that it just starts happening. And this is where people freak out, actually. So my program, usually within a month, people get to this point. They're like, oh my gosh, right? And then they're just like, it gets to be this easy. This is no, and their nervous system is freaking out.
Because
they're just like, oh my gosh, everything I want is happening. Like, is no, like this can't, like, you know, like they're waiting for the other. And so the fourth place mm-hmm. that I do a lot of deep work is around emotional mastery. And this, to me, it's like just four layers of emotional mastery. But it's like, number one, you got to re-relate to your emotions, right? So, for example, you know, when we're growing up, we're told stories that, like, anger is bad, right? Like, if I get angry, I'll hurt someone.
Totally.
But I want to tell everyone who's listening, like, that's not true. It's actually very amazing, healthy, and powerful to feel anger. Anger is an access point to our power. And when we suppress it, we're actually not in our full power. So it's okay to feel angry. In fact, it's healthy. However, it is not okay to let your anger hurt someone.
Yeah, to like direct it outwards at other people.
Yeah, and so when you can realize that those two things aren't paired, that like, oh, it's not that I get angry and I will hurt someone. It's like, I can get angry, I can be with that, and within that, there's a choice where I might hurt someone or I might not, and that's where I need to do my work. People are just like, oh my gosh, like they have the keys to the kingdom. And then through that anger and letting out all the old stuff, they can actually make peace with their past, right? They can stay more steady in the future. And once that's all released, they're coming into more of an unangry, expressed version of themselves where they're taking themselves where they want to go. So you do this with every emotion, grief, anguish, sadness, joy, blame,
I've had to do
judgment.
This so much. I'm like terrible at anger. Yeah. I like immediately move it to sadness. I'm like, this is too much. Like change this to sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many people
will
do the same thing. Then it's like when you have emotional charge, being able to release a charge. And then third level is to actually be with your emotions and to like understand how to do that kind of navigation of just like staying with, like this morning, 30 minutes is what I needed to just be with all the emotions and kind of like track them in my emotional landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it's that, you know, to be able to like speak with or learn from your emotions, right? So like if sometimes, not every time do they have a message and a lesson. I mean, you know, sometimes they're just emotions. But this is like another way where sometimes people who go into emotional mastery work, they get kind of stuck in their own version of too much shadow work, right? They get into this layer of like...
Everything has to mean something.
Everything has to mean something. And like, I'll try to lead people through an exercise and they'll just be like, oh yeah, no, it's telling me to trust myself. I'm like, pause. Like, we're not doing that. We're not trying to get to a message. Like,
We're just feeling it.
Just feeling it. And so they'll jump into these things where they won't really be with it. So those are the four layers. It's like kind of like being able to really come to peace with your past and like not live there all the time. And so many coaching programs kind of stay there because it kind of becomes an addictive pattern. Second is to understand how to navigate life when you don't have that and you have more access to your present self. And that has a lot of work around worthiness. It's really what opens that up. Then having the clarity to begin to manifest and really get to where you want to be going. And what's going to help you navigate all the turbulence along the way is the emotional mastery. If you can get and address those four places, that's what takes you to living a life that's fully lived. And along the way, just be aware that, like I said, after about a month, people in my program get to this place. And then like the next 2 months, they're riding the high, but they're very like, you know, trepidatious, but they're riding the high. And then it happens, right? They begin to self-sabotage. And they begin to like notch down, which is why I'm like, great, now this is where we get to address that. So, you know, we'll have this very similar pattern where like within the first month, it clicks for people. And then they're like, oh my God, no, like life is great. And there's like really nothing to coach on. They're just like celebrating. And we're like, yeah, I see you, great. And then they come to this point where they're like, oh my gosh, like everything is hard. And like this happened and that happened. And I'm not even doing my practice anymore. And da, da, da. And I'm like, yes, perfect. Now let's dive in. So just know, like, you're going to have
like
that
dip. That's
like
my pattern all the time. I'm like, doing really, really great. And then I watch myself sabotage. Yeah. And then I've got to figure out what's going on there. And then I get back on track.
Exactly.
It's just this constant loop
for
me.
Yeah. And that's the thing for people to keep in mind is, like, don't get disheartened. Because everyone feels that. Everyone's going to have that. When you have that, just make sure you have the support around you or whatever you need so that you can make it through that moment. Because as soon as you make it, what's happening is you're elevating the way that you're playing the game of life, and then you're riding the high, and everything's like miracles are occurring, and everything is great, and la da da. And then life says, okay, this is kind of their new consistent level, so let's meet them. And then they start to break down, right? And then it's like, okay, you got to build up and elevate again, and then life will meet you again. And the more you elevate, the more life meets you. And it's like, wow, I mean, it's just this exquisite, beautiful journey then at that point. So, yeah, that's really the journey.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I could talk to you all day, Jamin. I know you're like in the middle of a launch. You're a busy, busy man.
Oh my God. But we should do like a whole month long series.
Oh my God. That'd be so fun. Just like dive into each section, relationships, all the things.
Yeah.
Because I love your relationship. We didn't even talk about that.
That's like the number one thing people want to talk about actually is the relationship.
Your relationship's fascinating to me.
Our relationship is really special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
Well, maybe I'll just have Arianne and be like,
yes, have Arianne and she can get the other side of the story. But it's really amazing to be in conscious relationship and practicing conscious parenting. Like, I think the summary that I can give or a preview for when Ari comes on is like, when we created our relationship, we questioned everything that a relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
We questioned everything of like what marriage is. And we decided for ourselves like what we want that to be, and we practice what we call conscious relating, which means we tune into the like the energy field of our relationship, and we say like what makes sense right now, right? And sometimes that looks like monogamy, sometimes that looks like being open, sometimes that looks like a variety of things, and in that journey also having two kids, right? And so again, going through everything that we've been taught as kids, and like, you know, I remember at one point in time I was like, the kids need to know that life is hard. And she looked at me and she's like, really? And I'm like, no, where did that come from? You know, no. So it's like these things that would like keep surfacing. And for us, our family system and our relationship is the fire for all that to burn away. And so we just keep burning away more and more of the things that are not authentic, that we've just been either been put away or been carrying that aren't ours. And every fight, every big decision, every, you know, thing that we do ultimately leads us to the more truer version of ourselves, which is the hottest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I'm just like, oh my God, my relationship is so hot because we just get to be more and more authentic and loved and loving in those spaces. And to me, like, that's what relating is all about.
Mm-hmm. It's like safety for you guys to both express your needs and move through them and like let things constantly change. I think when I hear people talk about like ultimatums in their relationships or like things being off the table forever or whatever, I'm like, that's so scary to me that people are in that energy. Like,
yeah.
I think everything should always be on the table, but up for discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be able to discuss
or couples
our desires or energy all the time.
Yeah, or couples who are like, oh, we don't fight. I'm like, what? how are you getting closer if you're not if you're not able to move through difficult periods, feel like that whole like triggered like, oh, you're this or that or whatever, and then come back and choose that person over and over and over again. How do you actually create security in your relationship? Like, I don't get it. You know, it's like the whole idea of an ideal relationship to me is that you've been through it all and you've chosen each other through it all. That to me is a relationship. Mm-hmm. If it's like, oh, we've never fought and we've always had the most amazing sex and we've, you know, just raised 2.5 kids in our, you know, house with a picket fence. I'm just like, shoot me now. You know, and for some people that's great. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Maybe for some people.
You guys are finding your own expression.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I want the realness. I want the depth. I want every experience that like cuts across all couples of all time and like know that like we've had the awkward sex or we've had the difficult conversation or we've had the blow up fight or we've had the coming together again or we've had the vulnerable put our tail between our legs and apologize or forgive the other, right? Like that to me is like the fireworks of romance. And not to stay there all the time again, but to just know that like there's space for that. And even in moments where like I'm going through this death and rebirth process and I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on with me right now. I don't even know, you know, like how today is. And Aries is loving me in that expression of like navigating that depth, right? And the same thing for her. Like that, to me, that's cool, is like the invitation to love a new layer of someone every day versus the same layer, which is like, great, yeah. You know, it's like you can love someone forever, but to find a new layer like every day and be like, I love this too. And I love this too. And wow, this one is super hard, but I love you. I'm trying to really do it. I know mentally I love you, but I'm trying to get my system on board. Like, no. You know, it's like, then finally, like, no, I love this part too.
Totally.
Like, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in romantic relationship right now, but my best friends, like, they challenge me so much because I'm like, I don't understand this part about you at all, but I still know I love you. So, like, I'm loving this part of you, apparently. Okay, here we go.
No, it's so big with friendships as well, in all relationships, right? Like, it's just like, I feel like partnerships just create a container for, like, the depth because usually, you know, intimacy is involved and so there's a whole layer of vulnerability. But that happens with friends as well, like, absolutely, right? And kids and parents and, you know, family, like each one, again, there's just such exquisite nuance within each one of like just being like, oh my gosh, there's so much depth there. Yeah.
Jamin, I like now want to dive into that. Okay, we cannot just tease everyone. You got to check out Jamin online. Where can they find you and learn more?
You can find me on Instagram at I am Jamin J. Patel. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/PatelJaminJ. I also have a group on Facebook called Everything is Possible, which is like my hashtag because everything is possible. And in there, I have a ton of like different free resources and trainings and variety of things. And that's like a free Facebook group that people can join as well. So, and you can, my programs are Fully Lived and Tidal Wave. If you look those up with my name, you'll find those too.
You'll find them. We'll link all the things, don't you worry.
Yeah, love
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I have one final question.
Oh, final question. Ooh.
So, of course, this is called Embracing Human.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times the people listening in are struggling to, like, really embrace and accept who they are at all levels, and they want to be the shiny, perfect version of themselves.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people who are there?
The biggest advice that I would give is, like, bring those imperfect parts, like, on a platter to someone to love, right? Like, create the context where, whether it's a friend or a romantic partner, and just, like, owning, like, hey, I'm feeling this, and I would really love. Like, just literally ask for what you want and, like, be like, I would feel so great if I can, like, share something with you that's on my heart and have you just hold me and have you just tell me it's all right. Like, just literally direct people into what it is that you exactly want and allow yourself to receive it. I think oftentimes people like us will hint at something or will kind of like, you know, like we'll kind of curl away, you know, and be like, no, I'm fine. And then we want someone to know who we are and someone to know what we need and someone to show up with all of that mind reading. And that is okay, but that's a very immature way of doing it. That is the inner child who didn't get what it wanted when it was a child and still living within us. And then there's a mature way of just saying, hey, babe, hey, friend, hey, whoever, this is exactly what would feel amazing, and to give yourself that experience. Because once you experience that in real life, it opens up like, oh my God, I can do this at work. I can do this in my friendships. I can do this in my whatever. And then you just start doing it more often. And guess what? Now you're living a life that's fully lived because you're getting exactly what you want. Like, you're making it happen. That's really the biggest advice I would give, is like, find out what that might be, create the structure, ask for it, and let people meet you in it. And it's super vulnerable, so it's not easy, but it is simple if you just ask and create the container for it. And then when you feel it, you're just like, wow, I can do this in every part of my life. And I feel like life will open up.
So good. Like, letting people love you in the messy experience.
Yeah.
It's going to help you accept your own messiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for me now, like, perfect has become like a profanity. Like, I really hated people. Yeah. Like, oh my God, your relationship is like so perfect. Or like, your life is so perfect. I'm like, I have been trying to unwind from that word for so long.
So long, yeah.
So I don't want your perfection projected onto me. Like, yes, so many parts of my life are amazing. I've done a lot of work to create them to be that way. And there are the challenges, and those, like, that's really what I want. And it's perfect in a way of like, it's everything is perfect and everything is happening, but it's not this ideal of like, don't try to pretend, you know. And so I really, like, in my posts, I try to be like, you know, like, I'll post something of like Ari and I, and I'll be like, we actually had a huge fight before this photo, right? And be like, that's what it's about. It's like the realness. Like, I'd rather be real than perfect.
Same. Yay. Thank you so much, Jamin.
Thank you, babes.
Such a fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Embracing Human Podcast. Just a podcast to remind you that it is cool to be human. You're not broken. And I would love to be able to share one of your stories. Being able to relate to other people's stories, whether it's a moment of triumph or something embarrassing or just one of those human moments, please share a story with me so I can get other people to feel like they're not alone in this world. My email is in the podcast notes, taryn@theremoteyogi.com. And tune back in every Tuesday around 7 a.m. Eastern Time, where I'll be dropping new episodes each week, depending on how human I am. To find more resources on embracing a badass human life, check out theremoteyogi.blog. You can find me on any social media at theremoteyogi for lots of fun yoga, free meditations, and more topics like this that I'm sharing every day. Make sure to follow me and send me a hello on any social media platform. We'll see you guys, or chat with you guys, next week.